This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is the criticism of Shedeur Sanders getting a little too personal? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad to have you on this Tuesday. Bro, I feel like I'm now a Shedeur Sanders expert because I think I've listened to every press conference that he's given over the last calendar year. Right. And let's be honest, he comes across as very likable.
Sure.
Now, is he going to be everybody's cup of tea? No, but nobody's everybody's cup of tea. That's not how the world works, okay? But we're going to get into what some of the criticism was from some coaches and people who had interviewed Shedeur at the scouting combine in just a moment. But, you know, if I was going to say the biggest thing that comes across to me from Shedeur Sanders, from what he puts out publicly at press conferences and interviews and stuff like that, is that when it comes to football, he will absolutely acknowledge he's got a lot to work on. He knows where his blind spots are. He gets it. The footwork, the holding on to the football. Like, he is very critical as a self-scout when it comes to actual football. When it comes to everything else, he does come across like he's got all the answers. How to build a culture, how to change a culture, you know, what goes into being a leader. Like, there are parts of everything off the field where he will basically tell you, I've got this thing figured out. I've grown up with cameras in my face. I know exactly. I don't feel pressure. You know, I've changed cultures at Jackson State and also at Colorado. So from the football, he's willing to admit all the shortcomings. For everything else, he's like, don't worry, I got this. And so there's like almost two different guys you have to talk about when you talk about the full football player. Football-wise, he knows he's not a finished product. He totally gets that. But as far as how he handles himself, he does come across like, I've got it all figured out.
So if you listen to all this, what's your opinion on his draft status end? Would you take him or not take him?
I don't think there's anything that I saw. Now, I'm not in the room. But there's nothing that I saw of basically doing this deep dive into Shedeur Sanders and his public persona. There's nothing that I saw that would say, don't take him.
Right.
Absolutely not. And by the way, you'd have to be a fool to act a certain way at a press conference or in front of people. Now, what happens behind the scenes is very, very different. But do you have an opinion?
No, I mean, I think it's irrelevant what he's like in a press conference. And not only that, I think the team interviews are 100% irrelevant as well, because Johnny Manziel went in and blew every team away.
Yeah.
So you don't know anything about these interviews are probably overrated, because what you have to do, and a lot of scouts say this, you have to go to the college and find out from people who've worked with him what he's really like, because anybody can fake an interview. I mean, Johnny Manziel is a classic one.
Yeah, he was a very troubled guy, obviously, yeah. who came across.
And I was thinking back of the great combine interviews. There was a guy, EJ Manuel, who is one of the best athlete interviews we ever had on the Dan Patrick Show. He was so charming. I was like, I want to hang out with this guy all day long, and then he couldn't play quarterback.
I know. He was one of the most impressive people. I'll tell you another one. Deshaun Watson, extremely impressive guy, would have made him my emergency contact. You know,
yeah, he's. I always thought Deshaun was a little quiet.
Well, but that's not a crime.
Yeah, I don't.
Quiet. What?
Deshaun, have you ever shaken Deshaun's hand? Like, he's just a little, he was always unto himself a little bit.
He's a little different.
Shador and Deshaun Watson are very different.
No,
people.
No, I'm just saying, you think you know somebody, you don't know anybody. And I'm not saying that has anything to do with Shador. I'm just saying, you think you know somebody, you don't know somebody. Okay, here is a little from Todd McShay. The draft analyst, formerly of ESPN, now has got a show called The Todd McShay Show. He said, coaches, we're going to play you all the sound here so you kind of get a feeling. Let's play cut 3 through 6, Manny. They're going to be shortcuts, but just listen to some of the feedback that McShay got from coaches at the combine. Two teams felt Shador acted just sort of indifferent towards him.
Teams in the top 10 drafting that need a quarterback. The two people that I spoke to in these positions left the meeting feeling like Shador Sanders was not overly concerned with what they thought of him. They had a 15-minute meeting with him, and when they were done, they both said in different ways, different words, that they did not feel like Shador Sanders cared all that much about what that organization thought of him.
Okay. Listen, it's a job interview, right? So do you want to make everybody like you? I get it. But Perloff, there's also part of this where I think that's in some ways kind of healthy. Like, you know, think about it. There's somebody in Shador's shoes whose father had, you know, was outspoken, was, you know, full of confidence, backed it up on the field, but he's always had his critics. So I'm sure he's instilling in his children, you're not going to be able to please everybody. You're not going to be everybody's flavor of the week. So be who you are. And if people want to be on the journey with you, they'll be on the journey. If they don't, then they don't.
Right. I don't think that's exactly what McShay was trying to get across, but that does make sense. I think it's a fine line. Was he just being authentic or was he being dismissive in this interview? It sounds like, I think McShay was saying that, I'm just picturing him asking Shador a bunch of football questions and Shador kind of mailing in his answers. Mm. That's kind of, which is fine because I don't think Shador wants to go to those teams. I think that's why. Well, I think that's what's happening.
These are two top 10 teams. Yeah, why would he want to go to two top 10 teams?
Because half these teams in the top 10 are dumpster fires. I think Shador is manipulating it here because that was a narrative forever that Deion's going to steer Shador away from teams. I'll tell you right now, if some of those teams that I see in the top 10, I wouldn't give a good interview. Like, do I want to go to the Jets?
Well, I mean, listen, I tanking the interview is that's quite a strategy.
Well, I mean, what's the other strategy? Deion calling him and say, don't draft him, or he won't go there? That's the other strategy.
Well, you also want to be your own person, right? Like, you have the Sanders name, but you ultimately, and Shador ultimately, is responsible for how he comes across.
I think this is a team effort. I think Shador has a lot of faith. I think the Sanders, Deion, Shador, I think they're all planning this together. I think that Deion is going to influence.
Oh, I
where
do
he
too.
Goes.
I'm just
and
saying.
I think Shador is down with that.
To tank an interview, though, to specifically go in there and act like you don't care or be dismissive, if that's what, you know, the interpretation. I mean, that's a big.
Really?
That's a big risk.
What if there were four companies that were interviewing you for a job?
Yeah.
Head of IT. Just take it out of her. And
a,
you knew,
a role I was born to play.
You knew two of them were jobs you did not want. The commute was the wrong commute.
Sure.
Would you put 100% into those efforts into those interviews that you know you wouldn't even take them if you got them?
Well, yes. I think
I still would.
I still would.
No, okay, you'd mail it in.
More from Todd McShay. I can't mail it in. It's against my nature. Says coaches told him Shador was unprofessional and unserious.
One person that I talked to said, the best way I can describe it is it just wasn't a it wasn't a professional approach. Shador Sanders did not take a professional approach to this interview. The other person I talked to said he wasn't taking it seriously at all. I didn't get the sense that he was taking it seriously.
Okay, more from McShay says the feedback on Sanders wasn't ideal.
When you hear it wasn't a professional approach. And you hear he wasn't taking it all that seriously. That's not the interview that you're looking, it's not the response you're looking for from a potential suitor, from somewhere you plan to go play.
Okay, last one for you. McShay wants to clarify that Shador wasn't being disrespectful, just unserious.
It's very important, and hear me when I say this. There was no bad behavior. There was nothing disrespectful said or done. There was no kind of altercation. And it wasn't like Good Will Hunting when Ben Affleck went in for Matt Damon and put his feet up on the desk and yelled, "Retainer! Retainer!" Like, it wasn't that. So I'm not trying to like overblow this.
But again, the criticism was unserious and unprofessional. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I still like the theory that Shador doesn't want to go to those teams. And that's why it came off like that. I mean, I'm looking at the teams. Okay, Tennessee, I wouldn't want to go there. Cleveland, I wouldn't want to go there. The Giants, I wouldn't want to go there. Raiders, because Tom Brady, I think he wants to go there.
Sure.
And then you got the Jets and the Saints. There's compelling reasons not to take those interviews seriously. I totally get it. What's better, to sort of mail in the interview or to actually call them and say, don't interview me? I think that's what's happening. I really think Shador is picking and choosing where he wants to go. And the ironic part, now it seems like he's falling out of past all these teams, and they might be able to get back in the first round to get him. But I think Shador is manipulating the process, and I don't think he wants to go to those teams. Well, how else would he come off like that? I mean, you watch these Shador interviews. If Shador wants to impress you, he clearly can.
Yeah, he absolutely can. I listen, you're kind of like saying that this is all being manipulated.
Yes.
And that these teams, you know, are just kind of like they're out of the running. I think that would, if that is indeed the case, it would be I would argue very vehemently against a strategy like that.
Really?
Yes.
You have to avoid some of these franchises. I'm telling you, you don't want to go to some of these teams.
Okay, that's fine. But if you have your dad who's going to be manipulating things anyway, then there's no reason for me to come off unprofessional and unserious. I'm going to let my dad do the dirty work for me, just like Archie Manning did it for Eli Manning. Like, I don't, you know, I would just say that's a dangerous game you could be playing because, first of all, you don't know when you might cross paths with these people again. You know, whoever is in charge today in the year 2025 may not be in charge the next time you are looking for a new team, want to get another contract. You have no clue. Like, the NFL, we think, is like this big world. It's a small world. There's only 32 teams. You're going to see people over and over again. How many retread people get hired? You know, I just think that if Shador was indeed trying to tank interviews on purpose, whoever gave him that advice, I would get out of my inner circle immediately. And I don't think it was Dion. I don't think he would do that. You have to get that person is toxic. They are giving you bad information. And, you know, considering who Shador has around him, Tom Brady, a mentor, Michael Vick, he said, a huge mentor of what to avoid and some of the pitfalls. You know, these are people who have an amazing perspective on life. I can't imagine they would tell you, go into the Jets and basically act like you don't want to be there. That is such horrible advice.
Well, I don't think they said tank necessarily. And I think Todd went back and said it wasn't a full tank. He said basically it was a little more subtle than that, right?
Unprofessional and unserious.
But he said he also said, like, I don't want to make it seem like he was
a jerk, right.
Yeah, a jerk. Yeah. I'm looking at some of these teams. I don't think these executives are going to be running teams again. I don't think the Giants. I don't think the Giants are retreading and coming back. I don't think this Cleveland front office is retreading and coming back. I think this is one and done for them.
Well, but again, now you're trying to. He's not God. He doesn't know what's going to happen down the road. That's why I appreciate your theory, and I get where you're coming from.
I think that's where Shador was probably coming from.
Then he's way over his skis because if that indeed was the approach, then dude, you don't have everything figured out.
Yeah, but
to go in and start tanking interviews and being unserious so someone doesn't draft you is just, you are really playing with fire because you don't think that these people are going to talk. They're not going to get out their side of the story.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And people are already looking for a reason to criticize him in some ways because of Dion.
But Manziel was the exact opposite. He went and he wowed the Jags and he wowed the Browns and he wowed all these teams with this incredible team interviews. And it turned out it was all a facade.
Sure.
So I don't, honestly, I think we overestimate some of this reporting because there is a real Shador that the NFL knows about. And I don't think this stuff, like these little drips and drabs, are the full story. It does seem that the big question for me and Shador now is, it doesn't seem like the NFL is in love with him as a football player. Like, if he was so awesome, Maggie, that he was a magician on the field and he was kind of like Caleb Williams last year, people would overlook all this crap and just say like, ah, yeah, he was a little cocky, but he's so good, I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
But I think the fact that he's falling a little bit in the eyes of, or at least it's being revealed to the media that the NFL doesn't view him as an elite quarterback, now all this stuff is open for play.
The question is, has it become too personal, the criticism on Shador? I mean, I would say no. I think these are just observations, and people are entitled to have the observation. You don't think he's, as long as we're being truthful here, and this is not some kind of grand scheme to, you know, basically cut down his draft stock and to, you know, kind of cloud his draft stock for your own purposes, which we know happens all the time. But I think to say, to give your opinion of how somebody was in an interview is not getting too personal. Here's what I'd love to know, though. Because we've been around the block a couple times when it comes to the scouting combine and some of these interviews. Sometimes you walk into an interview and the coaches just start screaming at you. You know, it's like prison or something. Like, they're trying to break you down, see how you respond. So not everybody walks in and they're like, oh, hi, Shador, can I get you a cup of coffee? You know, would you come sit down, come be on the whiteboard. Sometimes they do these really weird tactics to try to get guys off their game. So I'd love to know what, you know, for the people who were critical of him, what was their strategy? What was their approach to trying to interview him and trying to see who he really was? Because sometimes these guys, like, they get nuts. Like, they'll bring in the offensive coordinator. He'll be screaming in the guy's face. You've heard of this stuff, right?
Right, but I don't think they'd do that for a quarterback who's coming on a personal visit, right? Like, this
I'm talking about in the combine.
Yeah.
15
I don't
minutes.
I've heard that. But do they do that to, like, potential number of first round quarterback too?
I think if it's your strategy, it's your strategy. And by the way, like, you probably want to see how the quarterback responds more than anyone else, right?
I guess so.
If that's your tactic.
But Shador's going to all these facilities too. I think he's already got visits with most of the top 10 teams. So he's spending the day in their facility. I don't know if they're out there yelling at him in the 15-minute interview. No, he's coming there. I think he's in Cleveland like this week. So anyway, yeah, I don't know. I understand your tactic. I feel like that's for later round guys. You really going to do that to your franchise quarterback? If Drake May comes in, you're screaming, Drake May, we saw that interview. They just gave him a bunch of plays and then then said, hey, what did we just say?
I think that the head coach doesn't do that. I think they have a position coach who comes in to be the bad guy. And
I don't think they're
forgiven afterwards.
I don't think they were yelling at Shador like that. I hear you, but I'm not sure that strategy is used on every potential guy. The thing is, with Shador, is it too personal? The funny thing is, it's not personal enough. Like, the NFL has this whole layer of information. We're sitting here studying the draft for 2 months, and we don't know half of what they know. It's kind of annoying. We know they're 40 times, but all the important stuff the NFL knows, and we don't know, so we're left to guess, and we get these little drips and drabs. So I would want more personal information. I actually don't even know. Why is everyone say, I know that he has a podcast, and I know that he has a fancy cars. What is it about Shador that is driving these teams crazy? I still feel like there's something more there. Don't you feel like we're only getting part of the story?
Well, I mean, and Shador has a good response to that, which is, you know, as far as the podcast or the rap career or whatever, he's like, listen, would you rather, I go work out, I eat, I come home, I watch film. Then I got a lot of hours in the day. Would you rather me be out, you know, racing my cars and doing that? I'm in my house. Like, in a music studio in my home, you know, having a creative outlet. It's not, you know, he's like, I'm not in this to release the music to become this big rap star. I send some of these tracks to my friends and that's basically it. You know, it's fair by him to say I can do other things in my spare time. And by the way, not a terrible, like, creative outlet. I don't know. I think the thing that, why this feels, I think, personal to people is the Dion of it all, right? Because there's like this built-in history that we have with Deion Sanders. And yeah. I'm not saying that people can't see the father different than the son. I just think it's difficult because Shador, you know, talks a bit like Dion, you know, like mannerisms, looks like them. You know, there's just a lot there that's the same. And whether it's conscious or unconscious, I think if you have a bias against Deion, you may have a bias against Shador. And, you know, it's going to be up to Shador to blaze his own path here. It's going to be the first time he's coached by anyone but his dad. And it's going to be the first time he's stepping into, you know, I know Jackson State to Colorado is a big step up. I mean, we're talking about a solar system away, Colorado, to the NFL.
Well, I mean, he had 10 NFL coaches, so he's probably knows more about the NFL, and he grew up in the NFL, so he knows a little more than anyone. But I think Deion, actually, you hit it on the head. The reason teams don't want him is they don't want Deion in their building.
But who wouldn't want Deion? Like, as far as the talent. But he's not that talent.
Coaches and GMs, but especially coaches, hate sports parents. They hate them. They don't want an active dad or an active mom anywhere near their building. Why would you? Think about anyone who's coached youth league. Why would you want to interact with a player's parents? I think the Deion of it all is a huge factor.
855-212-4227. Has the criticism of Shador Sanders, does it feel too personal? I'm going to say no. I think that I still think that people are allowed to have their reaction to him, right? Coaches told Todd McShay he seemed unserious and unprofessional. Like, listen, it's a 360 job interview. So I think the criticism you can give, the question I wonder is, are you actually evaluating the son? Or can you not separate that from the dad and the family? 855-212-4227. Are you actually looking at Shador as his own person? And again, football-wise, he will absolutely tell you, I've got this to work on and that to work on. But when it comes to the leadership stuff and changing cultures, he does sound like he's got it all figured out. And listen, he's seen a lot. But to go in, if you're going to change the Cleveland Browns, good luck to you. I mean, that's ingrained over there.
That's the reason I don't understand this, is because there are no good place to go. Like, if you're saying, well, I don't want to go to this place, I don't go to that place, well, where do you want to go?
Raiders. He wants to go with Brady.
Change the culture of the Raiders. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's a terrible situation.
Well, I think he wants, I think secretly he wants to go with Tom Brady.
But I think that's where, I think when Maggie says he has all the answers, where that's where the concern comes in. Because what makes Tom Brady a good football executive?
Nothing. We have no idea.
So for him to say, well, you know what, I know for a fact he's going to do a better job than the new Titans guys or the new Jets guys or the new Giants. Well, not the new Giants guys, but the Giants. Like, he doesn't know that. Like, there's nothing to suggest that. It's still Mark Davis, as you like to mention, Perloff, and the Raiders. Yeah. So there's that aspect to it. So can I give you guys a crazy theory? I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, there are no good options. So who, and these are top 10 teams he's not liking, apparently, or teams aren't liking him.
Two out of the top 10.
Yeah, two. And then Osina mentioned another quarterback coach who we don't know if that's a third team. We have no idea. Is he trying to get to the Cowboys? Because you're seeing these mock drafts.
Could be.
He's plummeting. And we're talking about, is he tanking interviews? And Deion, when they talked to $1 million worth of game last year, was like, oh, I know my two sons, basically him and Travis Hunter, he's an adopted son. They're going to go top five.
Be selectively aggressive.
I've already talked to the teams already. I already talked to the people. How do you go from that to now the mock drafts having him in the 20s?
He's
tanking interviews.
Hmm.
That's my conspiracy. I'm wondering if he's trying to get to Dallas.
I'm in.
855.
Sign off on that one.
212-4227. And then eventually Deion is the coach when the Patsy Brian Schottenheimer gets pushed to the side?
Maybe.
Yeah. Andrew Perloff on the dial line. I'm totally co-signing that. I love that there. Although I don't think the funny thing is, now are you talking first round or second round? Deion is falling like a stone. Shador is falling like a stone. Well, actually, Deion. I feel like now we don't even know if Shador is going in the first round. So do they take him at 12? That's really interesting.
855-212-4227. I like your theory, EJ, and I'll tell you how we'll know if that theory is even 50% true after the break. There will be one thing that the Cowboys will do that would tip their hand. I'll tell you what that is next. Again, 855-212-4227.
All right, Maggie, I did very well last night on prize picks.
I know you won't stop talking about it.
Thank you, Stephen Curry. This is the best time of year for Prize Picks. You have so many sports going on. NBA is heating up. Prize Picks, best place to cash in on your favorite sports. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in award winnings. Really? Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. It's so simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport. And I'm talking any sport. There are so many options there. Pick more or less on the projection, and you could win up to 1,000 times your money.
Wow!
I've never been more into the Brooklyn Nets and St. Louis men's basketball than I am now because of Prize Picks. And that's going to be my play for tonight. Cam Thomas, more than 18.5 points, and then Kobe Johnson of St. Louis, more than 1.5 assists. I feel really good about this, and we feel great about Prize Picks, and so will you. It's available in more than 40 states, including California and Texas. Just download the Prize Picks app today, use the code MNP, and get $50 in bonus promo funds instantly. When you play $5, that's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 in bonus promo funds instantly when you play $5. Win or lose, you get $50 in bonus credit for just playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, I did more YouTube scouting last night.
What do you got, Coach?
I think the biggest weakness on Shador is that he could throw the ball within 9 yards of Travis Hunter, and Travis Hunter would pluck it out of the air and break 7 tackles. That's a real factor. Was it him or was it Travis Hunter? But there was a play where he was rolling against his body, and he got flipped by a Kansas defender. It became a controversial play. The Kansas defender went for his knees, did a full flip in the air. It looked like he was going to be out for the game. Came back the next play, threw a 40-yard touchdown.
I
so
remember.
One thing I'll tell you about Shador, yeah, it got a lot of attention. That dude is tough as nails. Like, he could take a hit and keep on ticking. So that's got to be worth something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different when it's a defender from Kansas, no disrespect to a 28-year-old guy in the NFL, you know?
Listen, well, no, but the dynamic is the same. I think that he's being called a diva because of all the side stuff, but he plays tough.
Yeah.
There are a lot of college quarterbacks who do not play tough. I think he sort of plays like a guy who's fighting for his job. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt based on what you see in the games.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. We're asking you today, has the criticism of Shador gotten too personal? You're seeing now and hearing coming out of the scouting combine as far as the one-on-one interviews he was doing. Some of the teams, and according to Todd McShay, two in the top 10, thought that Shador came off as unserious and unprofessional. Josina Anderson is reporting that one quarterback coach called him brash and arrogant. You know, to me, I don't think that's too personal. I think, like, what the Dolphins allegedly asked Dez Bryant all those years ago, was your mom a prostitute? That felt a little personal, even though you probably want that information, I guess. But there's other ways to get it. This seems like it's all falls within the realm. And I think, to be honest, like, I'm kind of not surprised that we are getting something like this. The unserious and unprofessional, I'm surprised. The brash and arrogant, I'm not surprised, because I think that sometimes, you know, there's a confidence there that may be interpreted as arrogance. And he's also Deion's kid. And I think your biases against Deion may bleed into how you view Shador. But EJ floated this theory right before the break. Because you think that maybe Shador was purposefully tanking some of the interviews and not being serious about them because he already knows where he's going.
Well, I think they're pulling a Kobe Bryant. I think Deion wants him to go somewhere and is going to make sure it happens. Former pro, deep roots in the NFL. And I think that's kind of smart because a lot of these teams have had really bad runs for 10 to 20 years. So I kind of get that. Yeah, I definitely think Deion is manipulating the situation. But then there's these rumors that he's falling out of the first round. That there's a lot of heat to that, too.
Well, EJ has a theory. Yeah. EJ, not to put words in your mouth, that you think that Shador, do you think he tanked the interviews?
I don't think he performed well, and I think he knows better to perform better. I think he's a smart guy. Like, he's very likable. Like, I think if he comes in unprofessional and unserious, that's because he's doing it on purpose.
On purpose. Okay, and you think that the team he's trying to get to is?
Dallas.
The Dallas Cowboys.
See, Dallas hits a number 12, right?
Yes.
If the Cowboys took a quarterback there, whoo.
I mean, just pay Dak Prescott. So it's, by the way, something that I called many months ago and was, you know, called an idiot by many people. But because you just paid Dak Prescott. But listen, things change. He got hurt after you gave him that big contract. So now Dak with another lower body injury. Here's how I think you'd know if Dallas is doing this. I don't think they can sit at 12 and still take him. Like, when this happened with Eli Manning and he manipulated his way to the New York Giants, the Giants still had to trade up to one, okay? I don't think you can sit at 12 and say, all right, he's just going to come to us. I think you have to be trading with the Jacksonville Jaguars at 5. You have to know the Giants don't like him at 3 or the Browns or whatever. And I think you have to get to at least 5 because I think Las Vegas would call your bluff. I think the Jets would call your bluff. And I think New Orleans would call your bluff. And they would draft him anyway. So I think if you see the Cowboys trading up, that's how you would know, all right, something's up.
And the thing we heard that, you know, people wanted to dismiss was the guys over in 105.3, got it right today, were saying the rumor was that Dallas called Tennessee and said, what's it going to cost for the number one pick?
Yeah.
Why would Dallas need the number one pick?
Also, getting from 12 to 1 is, you're basically reverse Herschel Walker there. I mean,
there's no way you're doing that. I mean, I don't even think you're doing that for Travis Hunter. I know he's a special player. I don't think you're doing that for a corner receiver. No. You're not doing that for a pass rusher, I don't think. 12 to 1? And you got Micah Parsons? Why would you do that?
Yeah, it's 12 to 1 is going to be tough.
Do that for a quarterback.
Yep.
And I don't know.
I kind of tend to believe Shador is falling. Do you guys, everyone came away, every mock drafter that I like came away from Indy dropping him like a stone. Something is going on. So Lance Zierlein, who a good friend at NFL.com, put him at 29. Dane Brugler, I haven't seen it yet. I heard he drops him like a stone. He's the best at The Athletic. So I think Jackson Dart has probably moved ahead of him. I don't know how. So I think these teams, and I could be dead wrong, but it does seem like something happened in Indy where all the reporters got the same information. Maybe Dion manipulated that too, that Shador is not a top 10 pick.
855-212-4227. You can go vote on our poll on X at Maggie and Pearl. Has the criticism of Shador gotten too personal? Age Bogus is here with all the latest.
Guys, good morning. Your headline sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
I got this bracelet from a guy in the steam room.
Happy franchise tag deadline day to those who celebrate. We are now not expecting the Vikings to use theirs on Sam Darnold, but re-signing him is possible. The Bengals are using theirs on T. Higgins again, but saying they want to do something long-term with the receiver. Higgins would make $26.2 million if he stays and plays on that tag. It continues to be bad to play for and root for the Dallas Mavericks.
Take score in the lead.
Got Kyrie down here. That is obviously a major concern, what's going on right now.
Not the best description on Mavs TV of Kyrie Irving suffering a sprained left knee on a first quarter drive last night. He ended up face down on the baseline near the Mavs bench, and the camera right on him telling the training staff that he was legit hurt to come and help him right away. Here's Jason Kidd, already down his top three bigs, including Anthony Davis, and now this with Kyrie.
The injuries that we've had this season, guys are trying to hold it together to get, you know, other bodies back, and it just seems every time we're getting close to get someone back, someone goes down.
The Mavs...
It's like they're being punished by the sports gods or something.
Oh, maybe,
like,
because they did this before the game yesterday, announcing an 8% season ticket price increase for next season, blaming it on, quote, ongoing investments in team and fan engagement.
Hmm. Well, I can think of one person they didn't invest in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's... Is he Slovenian by chance?
And fat?
Is he a fat Slovenian?
Perhaps a frequented Whataburger?
Is he like hookah and beer?
Yeah. Dude loves his hookah and beer.
I know. I mean, and that's how many careers does that take?
Less hookah, more fan engagement, Maggie. Come on.
I mean, I just can't. It's almost like it's just a vengeful sports god that they've angered, who's like, you know, the storm clouds are forming. It's like, oh, you want to raise? It's hookah smoke clouds. You want to raise ticket prices? Well, we're gonna take it out on your firstborn son. It's like Kyrie Irving now goes down. I'm like, what is this, some biblical story? This is horrible.
I mean, I think you're overstating the drama. It's like,
not at all.
They're irrelevant, and they've gone to more irrelevant. This franchise, I saw the headline.
They were in the finals last year.
I'm saying since the Luka trade, like they're the Washington, they're the new Wizards. They might as well not even exist as a team.
Wow.
I'm not overstating it. I don't think
I agree.
They're a disaster.
They've gone
from a good team that we didn't really pay much attention to a nothing.
It almost feels like it's almost too on the nose. Like the new ownership is like, all right, what can we do to tick people off at the most maximum level possible? It's like, we'll trade away their favorite player, and then we're going to raise ticket prices. Like, it's out of the villain playbook.
Yeah, it sounds like an evil corporation movie. Like, oh, we're going to go in, and we're going to go, and we're going to fire everybody, and then we're going to raise the ticket prices. I feel like we're about to see, like, the death of an NBA franchise. Like, they're over.
Just the plot of a DC movie?
I was going to say, or it's like Dr. Evil back there and his henchmen.
Only Daredevil can save them.
Listen,
which we thought was Kyrie Irving. Listen, turns out not.
I know. The Mavericks fans would take a blind lawyer to go in there and just like beat the crap out of the Adelsons. They will take that.
I mean, there can't be any Mavericks fans left.
You see the videos of them after the third quarter? It looked like 50,000 people left at once. I've never seen that many people leave an arena so fast ever in my life.
See, that's the thing. It's like there's all these conspiracy theories about them wanting to move the team or threaten to move the team. And I know that those have been, you know, they'll come out and say that's not true. But do you believe what people say or what they do? Like, you're actively trying to tick off your fan base. Like, there has to be more to the story here than just blind incompetence. No,
I think that GM thought that I'm getting Anthony Davis and I'm going to win a title.
His head should be examined.
Well, I mean, you could squint and see a Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis combo if they're healthy, but you said it from day one. Like, there's no way Anthony Davis was going to be healthy. I think this was a basketball move. I don't think they were trying to tank.
But what about raising the ticket prices a couple weeks after you trade the star player?
You didn't want to pay him. Now you're asking for more money to pay people.
Yeah, I think it was an accident. I do think this GM thought, I am a genius and I'm outsmarting everybody.
Wait, what was the accident?
I think the ownership kind of listened to him. I don't think they said, let's get really bad and then let's raise the ticket prices. I think they thought that, this guy's going to lead us to a title, and we're going to raise. They probably made this plan 2 months ago. I don't think they are intentionally being bad. Like, you think that they're like, well, let's get rid of all our talent and be horrible. I don't think that was ever part of the plan. Why would they do that?
I don't know, but I know that it was beyond risky move, and I think a lot of NBA teams and sports teams in general, like, you want to be risk averse. Like, they're saying that investing in Luka was too risky because the hookah and the beer, and it's going to be a catastrophe. Was the quote that came out to The Athletic, a catastrophe.
Yeah. Like my Sixers and Joel Embiid.
Okay, but here's the thing. Different body type than Joel Embiid, different vices than Joel Embiid, different whole thing. And maybe similar vice.
Yeah, and by the way, what's a different body type? Except Joel is just bigger. They're both built like pears.
Only 7 feet and 300 pounds.
Yeah, right.
Different than 6'8".
And Joel Embiid never got to a finals or even past the second round, which Luka just had done. So I just think that there's like...
Neither have the Knicks, Manny, while you've been alive. So I don't know how much you can chuckle at Perloff.
I don't know. You control whether or not you raise the ticket prices. This is just all time bad.
The only thing I'm saying is there's this implication of like, let's gut the team and then we'll raise the ticket prices. I don't think they meant to gut the team. I think that was a pure accident. That's what I'm saying. I think they thought that, we're going to win a title with these guys. I really do think that. I think they were wrong.
By the way, talking about health, Kyrie Irving also a guy that gets injured
all the time. Yeah,
like you're banking, like they were worried about Luka's health, and the two guys who are extremely fit look agile, and they can't stay on the court. And Luka, look, he's barely getting through these games with the Lakers, but he's playing. He's out there, and they haven't lost. Basically,
yeah. Go back to Cleveland.
Anthony Davis got hurt in his first game.
Yeah.
Good first 12 minutes, though.
But now they don't have to pay Kyrie, so that probably works out, right?
But then they said they're investing in the team.
Who are they paying?
Use that salary cap on someone else. That's probably a stroke of good luck that Kyrie got hurt. And now that they can get rid of that contract, eventually get rid of whatever else they have, Anthony Davis in 8 years or whatever. I mean, they got now they got a tank.
I just want him to be okay and at peace.
This thing has just unraveled in a way that Nico Harrison is going to get fired soon.
People thought they might go to the finals this year.
Yeah, with After the trade?
No, before. Like, they thought, well, Luke gets healthy. Like, this is a dangerous team. I mean, you've been hearing it all the time on TNT and ESPN.
Really?
Yeah, the Dallas was the biggest threat to OKC. A lot of people
don't even say it, man.
Oh, boy. 855-212-4227. The Dallas Mavericks raising ticket prices by not an insignificant 8.61%.
I wish I had those bunnies.
Due to ongoing investments in team and fan engagement. I'll tell you what, those t-shirts they're shooting out of those cannons better be like
Versace.
Christian Dior.
Yeah. Well, they need more security to take away the anti-Nico signs that fans bring into the building,
yes,
too.
Yes, it's actually part of, it goes into the henchman fund.
I want to look like The Rock. I want to look like the final boss with the Versace vest coming out of those cannons.
Yeah, they better
by the time
be diamond bracelets that are getting shot out of those things. Okay, 855-212-4227. We're asking you today, has the criticism of Shedeur Sanders become too personal? Get back into that. Also, it's an important day for one NFL quarterback. We'll tell you why next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, asking the question today, as the criticism of Shedeur Sanders become too personal? Got some things coming out of the scouting combine that he was, at least in two different interviews, according to Todd McShay, who spoke with some people who are picking in the top 10, he came across as unserious and unprofessional, which which is weird. It's kind of a fine line for him to split there. He also said he didn't come off as a jerk or disrespectful, yet unserious and unprofessional. And I'm not, it kind of feels like the two would be linked. Maybe not as a jerk, but, you know, if you're unserious and unprofessional in a job interview, Pearl, how does that not come across as disrespectful, like you're wasting people's time? But anyway, that's sort of where we're at. And you couple that with the fact that Shador does seem to be dropping in a lot of these mock drafts. Now, who knows?
Yeah.
Mock draft people are also, I want to say they're guessing. It's informed guessing because teams very rarely like show all their cards to people.
Yeah.
But you know, there also is the fact that he does appear to be dropping in the standings.
Well, it does
draft, whatever.
I mean, who knows why, but it feels like all the reporters got to Indy and all of a sudden a lot of NFL people said Shador doesn't have elite skills. It seems where, you know, we're all college football fans and we saw Shador tore it up at Colorado, 37 touchdowns, 10 picks. And
completed
a lot of
74% of his passes.
Yeah, a lot. There was definitely a lot of bubble screens, and it's kind of hard to tell what different systems. And he was going against weak competition, but it does feel like things are not going great in the mock draft world. Again, you're exactly right. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was a faller now to the bottom of the first round, where some team trades back up for him. Again, you know what the team I'm focused on? EJ had a great one with Dallas. It feels like Cleveland and him, there's a lot. The fact that Deion said nice things about Cleveland, the fact that they have a lot of talent and they have an offensive coach, I feel like Cleveland in the latter part of the first round makes a ton of sense.
I guess, like, if you're going to go out there and if you're Deion, you're going to say, I'm going to play a role here in making sure that my sons, and he's talking about Shador, and he's also talking about Travis Hunter, who's kind of like an adopted son, right? I'm going to make sure they land in a good situation. And then you let them both go to Cleveland. Why even say that you're going to try to manipulate the process if you're fine with both of these guys going to Cleveland, which is maybe one of the worst run organizations in the league and has been consistently? Different coaches, different GMs. It's all the same, though.
They've been in the playoffs more recently than a lot of these other teams. I know the Giants snuck in at 9-7. They got...
Respect us.
Yeah, I got killed. But I definitely think if you look at their roster compared to some of these other rosters, it's definitely a step up. Assuming you keep Myles Garrett, you have a lot more talent and you have an offensive coach. And I think Deion wants, I don't think it's as simple for Deion. I don't think he wants to go to the best team. I think he wants to go to a team where he can influence things as well. And I think Cleveland might be a team like that. I don't know. But I don't think he wants to go to a team. Say there was a team that's in top 10 and they said, we'll draft Shador, but you can't bring Deion with you. Deion's like, no thanks. We're not going there. So maybe he thinks Cleveland is an open book. I can influence his team. Maybe get my other son there. Get Shiloh there.
See,
maybe I can get some players that I've coached before there. And like we can make this a sort of a Sanders project.
Okay, so he sees the Cleveland Browns then as sitting ducks. So he can go in there and he can basically just take over the whole thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I think other teams would bring in Shiloh as an undrafted free agent. Like I don't think that's such a big ask. I don't think this is the Lakers, you know, drafting Bronny in the second round. You know, football teams, you've got practice squads, you've got other ways to sort of keep him around. And obviously the Cleveland Browns, bro, I mean, two playoff appearances since 2002. Like, it's just a god-awful franchise. And the first people who will tell you that is the Browns fans.
Yeah, but everybody picking the top 10 is on tough times. Every single team. There's not a team. You don't get to the top 10 by being awesome. I mean, that's just the way quarterback drafts work. Even poor Caleb Williams went to the Bears, and that was a mess. The only guy who was an exception, Jaden Daniels, got lucky. Let's face it, that they hired Cliff Kingsbury and brought in all the right free agents. It's hard to find the right fit.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Jaden
Daniels. Jaden Daniels.
I'm curious what people think at 855-212-4227. You know, we're asking, is the criticism of Shador gotten too personal? I do still think there are a lot of people who are going to say his dad was like this, so he's going to be like this. And I wonder if Shador is getting like a fair shot. You know, do you have a preconceived notion of what he's going to be like? And, you know, again, football wise, he will tell you he's got a lot to learn. He's very open about that. And then on the other stuff, he does kind of come across like he has it all figured out. I can change cultures. I can change your franchise. And I think that's in theory, it's a great thing to say, but it's just going to be, I think, harder to back up at the NFL level. You've never before had to deal with an owner. You've never before had to deal with entrenched veterans who may not think winning is the most important thing, but yet have long contracts. It's just a total different level. And I know he's got a lot of like mentors in his life who can tell him that, but you don't really know it until you go through it yourself.
Definitely. That being said, too, how would he handle if he went to Tennessee and went 3-14? How would that go? There are a lot of big. He won't go to Tennessee. I think they'll take Cam Ward. But generally, it's going to be a totally different calculus. Say he went to the Giants and were 3-14 last year. They might be terrible. If they take Shador and start him, he might get it. Might be worse than Colorado. That offensive line is awful. So you're right. That's a big statement to say I can come in and turn around an NFL team. And it's going to be hard with some of these teams. Again, I love him with the Browns. I feel like Stefanski will get going that Kyle Shanahan kind of offense. He'll do a little play action.
When you tell somebody you should go to the Browns, I feel like you hate that person.
Why? You know? They're loaded. Sort of.
Their best player wants out.
Yeah, don't give him that request.
Like, things aren't going great in Cleveland. And I think you're asking Shador to do way too much if he's going to turn around the Browns. 855-212-4227. Okay, coming up next, dive into Travis Hunter.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.